Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the program here on the Big X Sports Radio. Plenty to get to today on this Tuesday show. Welcome in to the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. Today's show lineup, let's get right to it, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Hoosier headlines, our Zaxby's Hoosier headlines, where we take a look at key Southern Indiana sports and IU sports news. And I tell you what, Trace Jackson Davis, we were just talking about this yesterday. He's named co-Big Ten Freshman of the Week. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few moments. OG Anunoby of the Toronto Raptors, of course, former IU player. He had a big night last night, maybe a career-type night for him in the NBA. We'll tell you about that. Dawson Garcia, the five-star target, he set an announcement date. It's going to take place Wednesday afternoon, so we are just about 24 hours away from finding out where Dawson Garcia will go. And I'll tell you what, some of the projections out there have not been favorable to Indiana here recently. We'll talk some about that. Indiana women's basketball ranked and doing amazing things. We'll chat about that for a moment. And also an interesting episode or an interesting happening yesterday at Silver Creek High School. The backboard broke. Of course, a lot of excitement about Coach Hoffman's team for the upcoming season. A lot of IU fans are excited about Trey Kaufman and his prospects maybe to become a Hoosier down the line, definitely a high major college basketball player. And he broke the backboard yesterday, although, and it was a dunk, obviously, but although it may not be the kind of dunk you were expecting, we'll talk about that in our headlines today as well. Then later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, sports columnist with the Star, he joins us. We'll talk the normal subjects, IU basketball, IU football. We're going to talk some Romeo Langford and Rondale Moore with Greg as well about their injuries and how tough really this 2019 calendar year has been for both of those players. And our segment with Greg each week is always presented by Coffee Crossing with its new location in downtown New Albany. So we'll talk with Greg Doyle later in the program. Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. Mike joins us to talk IU basketball first. IU getting ready for another game later this week as the intensity level takes a small step up. We've talked about what the November schedule looks like and maybe that toward the end of the month, a little bit more challenging matchups for this Indiana team, of course, before the month of December. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some aspects with the team this year. We'll talk about some things that Archie Miller highlighted and mentioned that I found interesting last night on the Archie Miller Coaches Show, which we have each week or most weeks right here. I think he does not have a show next week because of the IU game schedule, but we'll talk some about that. Probably get Mike Pegram's thoughts on the Dawson Garcia recruitment. They have closely covered that. We'll do all of that with Mike a little bit later if we have time. We'll jump into some football as well. I saw some special ticket deals going online today for the IU-Michigan game on Saturday at the IU Athletics site. They are obviously doing all they can to build some excitement about this game, and there's excitement about the IU program. Bowl-eligible IU football program coming off a loss, but a good performance, a very competitive one-touchdown loss performance. The Hoosiers put points on the board. Peyton Ramsey looked good, as I think we all expected him to pick right up where he left off. And this Indiana team at home against Michigan, I think it'll be close. I think they will be competitive. I think it could be a touchdown or so. The question is, can they pull a big upset? Can this be their statement win of the season, really, for this program in many years? And I think the possibility is there, which should make everybody excited about this weekend's game in Bloomington. We'll talk some with Pegues about that a little bit later in the program today. That is the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, while making out your Christmas list, don't forget your dedicated employees and business associates that you would like to show your appreciation for. A Honey Baked Ham gift card or ham or turkey breast make a very nice gifting idea. You can call the store for more information at 812-941-9426. Again, 812-941-9426. Or stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's 3602 Northgate Court in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. We've had a number of questions come in, a number of comments, so I'd love to know that you're out there enjoying the program. If you've got a question or comment for one of our guests today, if you want to talk about the Hoosiers in general, we'll read some of your texts, maybe use them as questions for our guests later in the program. You can tweet questions to me and follow me while you're at it. At Hoosier Hills, again, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. Tweet me there. And also on Facebook, the show has a Facebook page, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can click like, you can get updates, you can get daily podcasts of the program, and you can also leave us a comment or a question while you're on our Facebook page as well. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Number of things to get to today. First off, Trace Jackson Davis, honored Monday by the Big Ten Conference. He was one of the co-freshmen of the week. He shared the honors with Malik Hall of Michigan State. Last week, Jackson Davis averaged 18.5 points and 11 rebounds per game in IU's contest last week. Was really good, I thought, in other aspects of his game as well. Pretty good at the free throw line, pretty good on the offensive boards and rebounding in general. Defense, probably some room for improvement. I think that's probably the story for all of the Hoosiers at this early part of the season. But we were just talking yesterday, and I said, you know, I feel like Trace Jackson Davis will be a Big Ten Freshman of the Week honoree a number of times this season. I feel like he'll be in contention at the end of the year, even as the competition level shifts up and moves to tougher, higher-level Big Ten-like opponents. I think he'll be in contention at the end of the year. He may not win it, but I think he'll be one of the finalists. I think his name will be floated out there for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And that is exciting to see what he's doing already, getting his season going, building some confidence, and what I think we all expect him to do with what he's shown, some flashes of greatness so far. And Archie Miller has been, I've said this many times, been very complimentary of him, as much or more of any freshman or any player, really, that I can remember in his press conferences. So big stuff by Trace Jackson Davis. We were just talking about him and this award this season, probably happening a number of times. And right after we went off the air yesterday, his first one comes in as co-player of the week, at least co-freshman of the week in the Big Ten Conference. Archie Miller Show last night. I'm telling you, if you don't listen to the Archie Miller Show here on the Big X, you're missing out, because Archie's not the most talkative guy. I think we know that. Pretty serious, pretty blunt. You don't always get a whole bunch from him. On the coach's show, sometimes you get that coach talk. You get the normal stuff that's, you know, really not much to it. But occasionally you do get some good stuff. Fairly regularly, I think you get some good stuff. And he was late to his show last night. Demezi Anderson was the player guest last night. They talked about Indiana's 4-0 start to the season, and of course this week's upcoming game against Princeton, who is definitely going to be, I think, the best opponent Indiana has played so far in this month. I'm not sure if Princeton or Louisiana Tech on paper at this early point of the season are better, which one of those two teams is better, but definitely the next two games I think will be Indiana's on paper toughest games in the month of November. But he had some interesting things. He talked very openly about being disappointed and what he called Indiana's slow defensive start to the season. He said, quote, "We didn't defend at all in the North Alabama game early on," and went on to talk about some of the off-season work in defense that the team has put in. He also talked about free throw shooting, and I found this interesting because Indiana's free throw shooting generally has been a lot better this season, at least so far. He said that the Indiana team spent a lot of time in the off-season last year on free throw shooting. He said they had some sort of program in the spring and summer to help players improve. And he mentioned on the show last night that Al Durham was the winner of this offseason competition that they had, making 91.2% of his offseason foul shots in this competition they had. I thought that was very interesting as well. Covered another a number of other topics, talked about Devontae Green's return to the team as well, and of course, Devontae Green got 20 minutes in the game. I think you can greatly expect as his hamstring shores up and gets closer to 100%, I think you can greatly expect him to log more and more minutes in some of the upcoming games for Indiana. Let's bounce around to some other Zaxby's headlines. Love watching OG Anunoby. Got to see some highlights on social media this morning. He had a career high 24 points last night for the Raptors. 24 points, 5 rebounds. He made 4 3-point baskets, shot 77% from the field. Big, big performance from him. He seems like the kind of player with the kind of body and the kind of upside that could really have a nice NBA career. I don't know that he'll ever be a superstar or an NBA all-star, but definitely somebody that can have some big nights from time to time and I think find a role on that team moving forward for a number of years. Our next headline is a big one. Dawson Garcia, a very sought-after five-star big man prospect in the 2020 class, said yesterday he's going to announce his college decision tomorrow, Wednesday, at 4:30 p.m., and he's going to do it live on CBS Sports HQ. You can watch it. It's a digital streaming, online streaming opportunity. He said, talking to 247 Sports, quote, "It was a long, hard process. I've thought about it a lot. I've thought a lot about it, but I'm happy that I've made my decision, and I'm looking forward to the future and what it holds." Again, that's Dawson Garcia. He's going to choose between Indiana, Marquette, Memphis, and Minnesota. He's taken visits, official visits, to all four of his finalists recently here in his senior year. He also met with the head coach of each school over the past week. We talked some yesterday that we knew Indiana and Marquette had been in for in-home visits, kind of late visits on Sunday, but apparently all four coaches in the process have been in here lately for some visits to try to close the deal and close this thing out. He also talked about each of the four schools he's considering. I'm going to give you the quotes for Indiana and Marquette. On Indiana, Garcia said, quote, "I just love the tradition they have there, as well as my relationship with the coaching staff, as well as the players coming. They have a crazy fan base. I think one of the best in the country." That's Garcia on Indiana. Here's Garcia on Marquette. Quote, "Really just my relationship with the coaches, the effort that they've shown recruiting me and how they are going to use me, and I can step in from day one. Also my relationship with the players when I visited there as well. I liked it a lot." He had similar things, as you can imagine, to say about Memphis and Minnesota. Really good things. He clearly likes the coaches. He clearly has a good connection. That is very clear with Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, the incoming guys from the state of Indiana for IU next year. And obviously he's smitten with the fan base and the fact that when you're in Bloomington, even as a recruit that's uncommitted and not sure where you're going to go, everybody everywhere knows who you are. So some big big reasons why I think Indiana has a great chance. But as much as I've thought that Indiana does have a good chance, there have been some of the national guys that do the crystal ball picks putting in their picks for Marquette. In fact, I think I saw 80% now pick Marquette. Maybe the rest were undecided, if I remember correctly. So not sure if there's a buzz out there that I don't know about or that we haven't seen, but there is some growing concern that maybe the recruitment of Dawson Garcia will not go the way of Indiana. So we'll have to wait and see, but we'll find out tomorrow at 4:30 when he makes his announcement. IU women's basketball note, love watching the women's team, Allie Patberg and some of the in-state players. They are now number 18 in the Associated Press Top 25. So they moved up 3 spots this week, and this is the first time ever that IU women's basketball has been inside the top 20 nationally in the program's history, which is big stuff. They will be fun to watch, especially once the Big Ten season gets underway. IU women's basketball off to a very, very good start this season. Final Zaxby's headline here in this opening segment. The goal, the backboard, it shattered yesterday at Silver Creek High School following their practice. Trey Kaufman immediately pops in your mind. You think he had to have something to do with that. He probably had some kind of big dunk in practice that shattered the backboard. The glass cracked, I guess, to the right of the rim, and the rest of the backboard has that shattered glass look to it. But I actually saw a video that one of the coaches put on social media from the security camera. They went and looked it up, I guess, today. And it's after practice. Trey throws, it's kind of blurry, and I watched it one time earlier. It looks like Trey throws a pass off a manager or someone's head who headbutts it like a soccer ball and back up into the air. Trey catches it, and it's just a little dunk. He literally starts inside the free throw line and throws the pass to be headbutted or to be a header-type pass back up to the basket. And it wasn't anything overly fancy or anything overly rough at all. But nonetheless, it's a good talking point and something to keep us interested about the upcoming season. And I don't think there's going to be any problem keeping fans interested about Trey Kaufman and the Dragons. They are going to be really good. We know that this year. Probably the most interesting thing with Silver Creek will be the guard play. The young Northern player, I think he's ready to step into a major role for Silver Creek. But Silver Creek's guards last year were so, so good. We talked with Coach Hoffman about this some out at Zaxby's in our preseason show last week. But Silver Creek has all kinds of talent, should be one of the special teams in the area this year. We just hope that they can get that backboard back up so Coach Hoffman can continue practice. I'm sure they're hard at work figuring that out today. But, yes, the backboard did shatter, although it may have not been the skyrocketing dunk that you hoped it would be from Trey Kaufman. But he did bust it, no question about that. Those are Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget Zaxby's. You can try their famous Southern TLC filet sandwich, a buttermilk marinated chicken breast served with lettuce, tomato, and mayo. And don't forget, if you missed our high school basketball media day that we do with the News and Tribune, you can find the podcast on SoundCloud or Apple Podcast. It was a podcast just like our daily show. You can go back and hear from Coach Hoffman. Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby from Silver Creek were on that program. All 12 coaches in the area were on that program last Thursday night, and we had a number of top players from the area as well. So it's about a three-hour deal. If you missed it, you can go back and check it out again on SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts. Coming up next, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Coffee Crossing would like to invite everyone to their newest location in downtown New Albany. They are turning their own bakery, or I should say they have turned their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. So make sure you check that out. They bring us Greg Doyle every Tuesday. Greg and I on IU basketball, IU football, Romeo Langford, Rondale Moore injuries coming up next right here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back to the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. And in this segment on Tuesdays, we always get the opportunity to hear from Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. And Greg's segment is brought to you by the great people with Coffee Crossing, who want to invite everyone to their newest location. It's their fifth location, and it's located in downtown New Albany. They have turned their own bakery at 140 East Main Street now into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. IU basketball, IU football, Romeo and Rondale injuries. We'll talk that and more with Greg in this segment. And let's actually start, Greg, with IU football. A close competitive loss, I thought a very good performance for Indiana to maybe keep some momentum even without a win on Saturday at Penn State. And now they get ready for a game that you and I have already talked about a little bit, the Michigan game on Saturday. Indiana, I think fans should be excited about this one. The team is playing well. The team was competitive at Penn State. Obviously, I know Coach Allen and everyone wanted to win, but still competitive, close, challenging, and Peyton Ramsey now officially the starter the rest of the way. None of this filling in when Penix is out or bumped or hurt. We know now that Peyton Ramsey is going to be the guy the rest of the way. I thought he played really well on the road.
Yeah, they can beat Michigan this weekend. I'm not a bettor. I don't know what the line is, but if I were a bettor, I'd bet it. I'd take IU, and I'm not. I might even bet them straight up. They can win this game. And there's been games over the years where, wow, this could be the breakthrough. That could be the breakthrough. I've never felt like one was as attainable as this one. This just feels different. This team feels different. They've had a lot of close losses over the years. That's why Tom Allen has had that whole. He used the word finish, I think, was his mantra a couple years ago, and maybe breakthrough was a mantra one year. I'm not sure, but this team is different. That loss is different. You go on the road to Penn State, and it's late in the year when injuries are starting to pile up, and late in the game, they were toe to toe with Penn State, and you can't do that unless you've got great depth. Andy's always had two, three good players, always, but they now have 30 or 40, you know, really good players. And we're starting to see that as the season goes on, they're not going anywhere.
Talking IU football, Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star. I guess, yes, the Indiana win, if Indiana would win this weekend, you'd have to say it was a monumental win for the program. I'm not sure what else in recent times would even compare to a win over Michigan football. But I think given the way the season has went, the team's at 7 wins. The team lost last week but was very close at Penn State. The team's bowl eligible. With each potential win more they can add to their total, they're going to increase their opportunity to play an even a better bowl. This would not only be a monumental win for the program, but it would kind of be an unbelievable highlight to what we could look back, I think, and say is a real turning point for Coach Allen's tenure and the IU football program as a whole after many, many years of some positives followed by setbacks. Positives followed by setbacks. A win Saturday would kind of just put an unbelievable icing on what's been a good cake so far for IU football.
Yeah, and you imagine what damage he could do in their recruiting trail if they beat Michigan. He's already got, they dropped out of the rankings. Well, I don't think they should have. They dropped out of the rankings. Still, they were in the top 25. They beat Michigan, they're going to go right back in at the top 25, but also they've beaten now Michigan. Imagine what he will do in the recruiting trail with that information. He's already he's already armed with the ranking, and he's armed with the best season in years and all this. So this would be, if they can polish off Michigan, this would be just a huge pivot point, because as good as he's done, you know, building it on really just kind of hot air and talk, and we're going to do it, believe and hope and faith, he would actually have something tangible to show for it. It could be a takeoff point.
Yeah, no question about it. IU football with a big one coming up on Saturday. And, Greg, IU basketball, they continue to play mid-major, low-major teams as this coaching staff set the schedule up to be that way. But the schedule, obviously we know in December is going to get better, but it's going to get better this week when Indiana takes on Princeton. It's going to get a little tougher when they take on Louisiana Tech. Those will be the two toughest games, at least on paper, of the month for this team. We've talked about defense. We've talked about turnovers and free throw shooting. We've talked about a lot of individual players leading up to the season and even since the season began a few weeks ago. But I'm not sure that when I look at this Indiana team and the future of this Indiana team well beyond maybe this season, that I can get any more excited about a player than Trace Jackson Davis and the start that he has had to his career as a freshman. You and I talked about him a lot in high school and his importance to Archie Miller's in-state dominance continuing on the recruiting front, and now we're talking about him even early against lower-level opponents, having big games, having double-doubles, stepping up, doing big things for this team. I just can't wait to see him against better competition, because I don't know that he's going to have double-double every game. I don't know that he's always going to reach double-digit points. But I feel like that he will escalate his game a lot like he did against some of the better high school competition when, and even in the summer months, the travel stuff as well. I think when he plays the higher level competition in December, we could really be talking about Trace Jackson Davis and what he does at that point.
so far, he's checking every box. And, you know, and obviously, checked him in high school. He was great. And in the playoffs, whatever, he was great against the good teams. He goes to the All-Star games. He dominates those. Now he's going to college. He's dominating scrimmages. He's dominating practice. Archie said a really telling quote before the season began that Trace Jackson-Davis has more than 100 points more than anybody else in practice. They log points. And while, yeah, practice scoring, what does it mean? I don't know. But when one guy has that many more points than everybody else, and you're an IU with all these really good recruits, then you're probably pretty good. And then he's checking the box of low major competition. He can dominate those guys. I've told you over the summer, back when I saw Trace Jackson Davis in an All-Star game, the North-South game, I think it was, that he just dunks on everybody. And 6'9", 6'10", guys, they all have a level. Like, we all have a level of math. We just do. There's a level of math where it doesn't matter how smart you are, you can't get past that level. And no matter how much teaching, it'll never happen. Your brain can't handle it. Well, 6'10 big guys who dunk have a level. They're going to reach a level where they can't dunk on everybody anymore. And we haven't found his level yet. That's what's exciting. Is that we don't, you know, as far as dunking goes, he might be a math whiz. He might be. I'm not good enough in math to even know what the hard math is. Vector calculus? I don't know what that is, but maybe he's a vector calculus dunker. So far, he is, and he'll run into some level, I guess, where he can't do that anymore, and then we'll have to see more of his game. But we haven't seen that level yet.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Devontae Green was back Saturday for the first time this season, and a lot about what he's going to have to do, need to do this season, increase his scoring role, and just overall leadership for this IU team. A little bit of a, I think, probably a bummer for IU fans and the coaches that he missed some of these early games. Those are opportunities to get plenty of minutes, to get some confidence, to, you know, take more shots, especially in his case, and to maybe fit into your new role. Is it a big deal that he's missed some of these, I guess, cupcake-like games where he could maybe experiment with being the more dominant scorer on this team? Or do you think that Devontae Green, we saw at times last year, that was really good, really crafty, could shoot it as well, will come in and pick up right where he left off on the positive side of things?
If it were a big deal, I mean, it could be a big deal if IU's schedule was normal, but there's still cupcakes. There's still, I don't know, three or four cupcakes left. Princeton's a cupcake. This is not Pete Gavitt's Princeton. And Louisiana Tech, I don't know what they have. This is not Paul Millsap's Louisiana Tech. These are games where he can do whatever he wants. And he's got no conscience. I don't know how much he needs to just kind of hit the ground, you know, shooting jays, and whether they go in or not is, I don't think it would be a matter of rust. It's just, he's really good. He's got all kinds of, he might not be an NBA player because of his height and because of some other stuff that he does. But as far as just having the ball in his hands and doing things with it, including passing, but dribbling and scoring, he's got NBA skills with those things. If that's all it took, he'd be a pro. We'll see. But I think he and IU both have plenty of time for him to get acclimated to this role before the schedule gets tougher.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, we're losing you every so often. I'm not sure what's going on, but Greg Doyle's with us talking IU basketball as well. December is going to be a telling month, as we know, for this Indiana team, clearly based on some of the big non-conference games and based on two Big Ten opponents early on. At what point, and I've looked at the schedule just for my own thinking, but at what point do you think Greg Doyle will have a real read on this Indiana team? Is it gonna be for you maybe middle of the month after Florida State and a couple Big Ten games, or is it going to be maybe something that you'll need to see him play back into the full Big Ten season in January to really get an understanding on what this Indiana team could do? Will they have a chance to make the NCAA tournament, those sorts of things?
I think by the Crossroads Classic, which is the second or third week of December, and that'll be their second or third, I guess their third really hard game. I think by then, because I mean, even one hard game is just not quite enough. And two might be enough, but three for sure. So by the time they come to my city, Indy, and they're playing top-level in-state competition, that'll be cool to watch. We'll know what they are at that point. At least we can project what they're going to be. I don't see any pieces on this team that they're going to come around. I mean, I guess the only piece of the team that I think might be radically different in March than he is right now is Jerome Hunter. He's the one guy that perhaps, because of what he's been through physically, we will see a different Jerome Hunter in February than we're seeing right now. But everybody else, by mid-December, we're going to know what they are.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I want to talk Romeo and Rondale Moore as well, two local guys that they've got big futures potentially ahead of them. They've had some big opportunities here, but also some injuries and just some slowdowns in this 2019 calendar. Romeo back and forth between the Celtics and Red Claws of the G League after lots of little dings and injuries since he's been at Boston and recovered from the big injury, which was the thumb, the hand injury. He goes back to Maine on Saturday night, and I'm kind of at another game but following things, hoping we see Romeo start putting up, you know, slashes through the lane and three-pointers and on his way to maybe 27 points again like he did a week or so ago for the Maine team. And I noticed a couple minutes into the game he's not playing, and then all of a sudden it says he had an ankle sprain and he's hurt and he's out, and it's unsure how serious it is. Since that point, we've learned it's probably not that serious, but my goodness, all the injuries, all the illnesses, all the games missed, all the opportunities missed, the preseason, the summer league, the early season NBA games, even in regular season when Boston was trying to figure out its lineups and who was going to do what, he missed all of those opportunities. And now that he's back in the G League, you think, all right, that's where he's going to find his way. That's where he's going to build confidence and get back to Boston. And we know Romeo eventually is going to do Romeo things wherever he's at. But even in the G League now, hurt again.
Yeah, Romeo and Rondale, too, those guys have never really dealt with that much adversity. And I'd argue that Romeo faced some at IU last year, and of course he did. But nothing like this. And so we know how physically gifted he is. It's obvious. But guys don't have to show how mentally tough they are and the resolve. You don't have to show it until you have to show it. And now we're about to find out, and I don't mean this week necessarily, but just going forward, he's going through a lot, and it's physical, yeah, but at some point it's got to wear on you. It just has to. You're human. It would simply have to. So we're going to find out, and he's going to find out about himself, is that how strong is he above the shoulders? And I don't mean smart. I mean just you kind of got to be mentally tough to just kind of move on from all this stuff, and that's, I don't envy him trying to do it because it's brutal. This is almost a redshirt NBA season. He's going to be a redshirt rookie a year from now because Boston's kind of, they're moving on. They have no choice. And, yeah, they'd love to get Romeo, a really good Romeo, add him as a 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever man, to the rotation. They'd love that. But meanwhile, they're pretty good without him, and they're not going to shoehorn him in just because they need him. They don't really need him right now. So Romeo's got to work on Romeo right now, and I hope that he's got the mental resolve to do it. Same with Rondale Moore, a little bit different. But he's never been through something physically like this. And the first time he takes a hit, which might not be till spring practice, will be a big deal for him.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Let me ask you, I mean, when Romeo gets healthy, finally, and stays healthy for a while, with Boston doing well, if that continues, does he get a chance? Does he get some minutes, even in a small way at some point, as a lottery pick to prove his worth and to find a role, even if it's a small one, on the team this season? Or do you think this could be something, if Boston continues to find success, continues to win, and there aren't a ton of injuries, like more like what we saw with Gordon Hayward a few weeks ago, or last week, I guess, when you think, okay, that's going to open up. You hate to see it for Hayward, but you think maybe that'll open up a few minutes for somebody, potentially Romeo. Will he still get an opportunity at Boston at some point this season? I know it's a long season. I keep trying to remind myself that.
Yeah, I mean, he will, but it'll start real small. It'll start in garbage time, and that'll be his chance to show what Romeo can do. And he can do a lot if his mind's right. So it'll start there. You know, he's not going to come back. And I know you know this. He's not going to come back after they finish the G League and be their seventh man overnight. But he'll get garbage minutes. But if he looks really good, they'll creep him in. Brad Stevens is no dummy. He'll know how to, you know, eke him into the roster, because there's no way you're not better with that guy as your ninth, eighth, seventh man. There's no way you're not, but he's just got to prove it by being a pretty good 11th man whenever he gets that chance.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us Tuesdays on IU basketball, IU football, and of course Romeo Langford and more this week. Greg, always fun. Thanks for the time, and glad to catch up with you.
All right, Matt. Thank you. Bye.
Right. Greg Doyle, brought to you by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, 5th Coffee Crossing location now open in downtown New Albany. Make sure you check it out. Just a shout out to our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, as announced every Monday. This week's winner, Providence Girls Basketball Senior Natalie Bosing. She scored 79 points in three games at the Battle at the First Capital Tournament in Cordon on Friday and Saturday. She had 26 points to lead Providence to an overtime win over Cordon. She had, 24 points in the semifinal game, a win over North Central's Farmersburg, and 29 points and 13 rebounds in the championship game, although it was a loss to Crawford County. Huge week for her, and a big start to the girls' high school basketball season for Natalie Bosing, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Serdano's Pizza. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, more on IU and Princeton, probably some IU football as well. And I know that everybody, I've had a couple tweets here and questions about Dawson Garcia. So we'll cover that with Mike as well. All coming up next here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com with us here. And as always, lots of IU basketball and football coming up here in this segment. But I want to start with recruiting, and then I want to talk about Bob Knight with Mike to start off the segment. First, Mike, Dawson Garcia is set to make his announcement on Wednesday afternoon at 4:30 p.m. to be exact. Your gut feeling, your intuition, your thoughts on this. I've noticed that some of the national guys are not predicting IU to be ultimately where Dawson Garcia winds up when he makes his announcement tomorrow. What's the feeling you get? What's your thoughts?
It's one of the closest decisions I've covered in a while on Peaks. But, what little we have gathered of late, it seems to point to Marquette, but it's still pretty hazy on this one. They've done a real good job of keeping it quiet. There are a couple crystal ball kind of selections, but not very many of them. I've talked to people that have made crystal balls about why and so forth, but there is a little bit of pro Marquette stuff going on out there. There was good information in this early fall that's where he was leading. So if he stays with, his first love, then it might be Marquette. But I as far as we know, the coaches and everything are have not been informed of his decision, which will come, 5:30 Eastern tomorrow.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. I want to ask you both sides of this potential decision for Garcia. If he commits to Indiana tomorrow, if he becomes another and maybe a bigger piece of the 2020 recruiting class, what type of player, what type of impact, what type of role could you see him playing as a freshman? Is he someone that is ready to come in given his big stature, his big body, and compete right away in the Big Ten Conference?
Yeah, he would play right away. I was surprised if he wouldn't come in and just start, few games in or right off the bat, similar to what Trace Jackson Davis has done this year, make it, immediate impact, both rebounding and on scoring. And he's really unique in that he's pretty much a legit 6'11", and he shoots the ball really, really well, passes it terrifically. Someone was trying to compare him to Tony Kukoc, the old Chicago Bulls player that I was talking to last night. I'm not sure he's quite as mobile or as quick with the ball, but he has that kind of passing, shooting, and handling skills that are so unique for someone of 6'10" and up. He's not a great low post player, therefore I think he would. But Trace Jackson Davis is, so I think those two would complement each other really well.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, about Dawson Garcia to start our chat today. If Indiana is not the winner in the Garcia sweepstakes when he makes his decision tomorrow, where does Indiana turn in the 2020 class? Are there any other names out there at this somewhat late point now that high school basketball is beginning and games starting or getting ready to start in most of the states? And does Indiana ultimately, without Garcia, if it doesn't go Indiana's way, do they add anyone to this class, or will it just end up being a three-man class in your opinion?
If they do add anyone, I think it would be an unconventional way. Either somebody reclassing from 21 to 20, or somebody who becomes available later, maybe because the school changed coaches or something else happened, or, you know, you could have, you know, the grad transfer and all that kind of opportunity later on. But it's not, there's not like there's another kid who's ranked top 60 or something that has been listing Indiana all along that may be making a later decision. There's no obvious plan B, I guess, Matt, is what I'm saying.
Got it. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. And again, follow the Pegs.com website. Jeff Rabjohns, Mike Pegram have been all over the recruitment of Dawson Garcia. In fact, Jeff has a one-on-one video interview with him that took place a few weeks ago that had some interesting stuff in it. Mike, very interesting day, and I did not find time Monday to bring this up on the program at all, but a number of people have mentioned it to me, and I think a number of people that listened to this show were possibly in attendance at the Bluebird on Saturday, but Bob Knight in attendance, saying positive things about Indiana, talking to former players, getting the fans riled up. Were you surprised by any of this? That he is, I mean, I know he made the baseball game last year. We know he's living in Bloomington. There have been all sorts of rumors and things circulating about that and maybe why he's back in Bloomington. But are you surprised at all that he shows up to essentially an alumni gathering of sorts, a very pro-IU event, even though it's not on campus, even though school administrators or coaches or anything like that not there? Did Saturday catch you off guard at all?
Well, I mean, I knew a little bit about the possibility, but not until late in the whole planning, or just hours before, really. But it makes a lot of sense, knowing Coach Knight, that he would do something that's a little bit unofficial. And he was kind of going, I think, with some of the former players are really what draws them to that event, I think. Steve Green is, I think, a big part of that, being his first recruit and the oldest of the players that he knows well and, you know, obviously has maintained a relationship with. And he's living in town. And I think he would really likes to show the appreciation that he has for that support that still is out there from IU fans. And in some ways it made a lot of sense for how he did it. I think he'd rather not go through, you know, administrative people because of how he left the university and kind of go through maybe more unofficial channels where, you know, because he connected so well with the fans and that's really what that event was and more player oriented too helped.
Mike Pegram with Peaks.com. Does this at all help or change your mind about a potential return for RMK to Assembly Hall at some point this season or in future seasons to greet the fans and to be honored by the school in any way? Or do you stay with the fact that he may do more things unofficial like this, as you mentioned, without involving administrators and others from the school because of the way he felt the firing was handled or how he was fired? You think it'll be more things along those lines?
You know, I don't know if he'll be at a basketball game, if that's what you're asking. If he does, it would be, I think, not announced beforehand, and it would be a kind of crazy atmosphere if he was there. But he could come in unannounced and maybe sit up high in that kind of suite level or something like that, where he wouldn't be besieged, but you know, he wouldn't want to be a distraction to the current team and all that. So I don't know. He's already been to a baseball game. He loves baseball. I bet, you know, there's a good chance we might see him in a game, another baseball game in the future. Basketball, who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't ever come.
Got it. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Let's talk a little bit about Princeton, Indiana's next opponent coming up here this week. It's been said that the month of November has been structured this way on purpose, and it's obviously you can understand why this probably is a good thing for Indiana playing mid-major, low-major schools in Division I basketball. But now it is going to ramp up a bit if there is a ramp to November, because Princeton, a solid mid-major team, and then Louisiana Tech, who follows Princeton on the schedule, there's been good remarks about them as well so far this season. And then, of course, that all changes in December with Florida State and Big Ten games and Crossroads Classic and other exciting games, no question about that. A little bit about Princeton. Is this a step up in schedule for the IU team, and your thoughts on Princeton, the team as a whole?
Well, they're 0-3, but they have, they're playing a little bit tougher schedule than the other teams in their Ivy League. They have had some success. I think they were third in the Ivy League last year, won 16 games, only lost 12. Ivy League doesn't play a conference tournament, so their number of games is down. They have two really good players, averaging 17 points a game, but they lost three or four starters from last year's team. I think they're better than the last couple teams, better than the North Alabama, and definitely better than Troy. Portland State was a decent team. Maybe they're along those lines, but I expect Indiana to be able to handle this team, but the style of play might be more conducive to hanging with Indiana, maybe not quite running as much as up-tempo as some of the recent IU opponents have been, and whether it can kind of play into the hands of a more talented, bigger team like IU. But I don't think this is going to be a close game, but it won't be just a tremendous blowout like we saw with Troy.
Anything from the defensive perspective, with maybe Princeton being a shade better team, Louisiana Tech as well, that you'll be watching, given some of the early season concerns with that side of things?
Yeah, I mean, perimeter defense has been an issue. I think fouling has been a problem for this Indiana team. So if they can get their fouls down, that would be a positive sign to pull out of this game, if that indeed is the case. But Archie hasn't been happy with the defense. They've been working really hard at it. They finally had, a second half of a better defense the other day. But that's an early focal point, because he thinks they can be good in that part of the game. But because they're young and inexperienced, they aren't making good decisions on defense yet. They've been better offensively than I would have expected. And what's proven true is that they say they have a good 1 through 11. And, that's 11 scholarship players that they have, and all of them can play, and all of them have played pretty well. The only guy who hasn't played much is Devontae Green, who's, might end up being the leading scorer. So this is that's the strength of the team, is the depth, and they can kind of wear down teams. But they have to kind of go. It's really been a good schedule, I think, to kind of ease into things this year with the roster makeup.
Let's talk a little football, Mike, before we let you go. Obviously, a big one coming up Saturday for Indiana football, with Michigan coming to Bloomington. Just generally, we've been previewing the game, thoughts on the game. What is your prediction? How could you see this game shaking out for Indiana, coming off the loss, but a competitive loss at Penn State over the weekend?
Yeah, I thought they were more competitive at Penn State than I would have thought. I thought it kind of going the lines that they would be into the game, but would fall by a couple touchdowns. But they were in. They had an onside kick there in the final seconds. If they had recovered, they would have been, within a score. They proven that they can run. Can move the ball on about anybody this year, and so they have another test in that regard. But Michigan's defense ain't quite as good as it has been, but they're better offensively. But Michigan's playing really, really well. I think they're really playing better than Penn State is. But the game is in Bloomington. And Indiana, it'd be, 7 wins is a big deal, but they still haven't beaten anybody that I think is clearly going to end up with a winning record. So it'd be nice to have a signature victory. It also would push them into a much nicer bowl game, probably a Florida bowl game, if they win on Saturday.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Peegs.com. Don't forget to check out the Peegs.com website. That's PEEGS.com. Complete coverage of IU basketball, football, and more. Mike, always appreciate your insight. We'll talk with you again.
All right, Matt. Talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Hoosier Report. It's presented by CC Power Sports each day here on the Big X Sports Radio. Every child's dream at Christmas is a new dirt bike, and at CC Power Sports, they're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can visit ccpowersports.com for more details. That's ccpowersports.com. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Don't forget podcast. If you miss our live program, we do replay the show most days here at 3 p.m. on the Big X. And, of course, podcasting at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, or you can download the SoundCloud app. We're also available in Apple Podcast as well. Plenty of ways to keep up with IU basketball, IU football, and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And no matter how you're listening, we are glad to have you with us each day. And don't forget, I'll be back Wednesday. We've got lots to cover tomorrow. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is with us. Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune joins the show. A lot of stuff for you tomorrow right here at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.